been a lot of fireworks so far today, as you probably know, and certainly the big time news, at least in these parts here in Canada, is that Carey Price sounds like he's going to stay put with the Montreal Canadiens. Do you think that was the right decision by Seattle?
Well, I guess probably full disclosure here. I have some skin in the game. I have some blood in the game. My brother Ricky is vice president and assistant general manager to the great Ron Francis, as you mentioned, Nick, a little bit earlier. So on that level, I have some blood in the game. And then I also have some blood in the game as well at the amateur level. My oldest son, Eddie, is an amateur scout for the Seattle Kraken. So I just wanted to have full disclosure here because of, you know, the world that we live in. I thought it was very interesting and intriguing that, you know, Montreal would expose Carey Price. But, you know, I think when you look at salary, you look at the injuries, the concussions in particular, you know, something certainly to weigh. And I think, you know, I was looking at it like, wow, I mean, very similar to Marc-Andre Fleury being available, right? Like almost the same similar thing. Now the only thing that Fleury has that Carey Price doesn't is the Stanley Cup. And, you know, so it's certainly, again, rumors, speculation is that, you know, Seattle's not going to take him. So, I could see and make an argument on either side, but I would probably want to allocate, you know, funds probably in a little bit of a different direction than, you know, what's priced at 10 plus or 10 and a half, whatever it is. So I probably would, if that indeed is what ended up happening, because I know the list is in already, I would probably agree with Ronnie and my brother on bypassing on Carey Price at this particular time.
What are your expectations for this team out of the gate? Just looking, it should be a softer division from what I can tell. Do you think they'll be competitive, a playoff team? Has Vegas set the bar too high for them?
Well, Justin, the expectations, I'm sure everybody in Seattle and any Kraken fan will look at the comparable and go, well, geez, if Vegas did it, we did it. But I mean, is that ever going to happen again? I mean, what do the analytic numbers tell us, Justin, on that happening in any professional sport, let alone in a game of hockey where a team comes into a league and goes to the championship, you know, series in their first go around, you know, different times, you know, salary cap implications around, I think general managers for the most part, probably a little smarter, a little brighter, you know, a little bit more experience of going through it and not thinking that, I'm going to protect one guy when I'm going to give up two or three other guys, or, you know, if you throw in picks as well, where, you know, you saw what happened in Minnesota and Florida that really, really, in my opinion, really made Vegas to what they are, is when they got Halla and they got Tuck and, you know, got Riley Smith and they got Jonathan Marchessault, where, you know, managers at that particular time were like, well, you know, we don't want you to take this guy, so take these other two guys. And all of a sudden, you know, they had, you know, I guess you could argue, I mean, when Halla was there, you got four of your top nine forwards, you know, because you played that game of, you know, well, we really like these guys, but if you don't want me to take them, then, you know, we're going to select, you know, we're going to take this guy and then you're going to trade us this guy. So, expectations, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, in the Western Conference, out west, why not? I mean, you know, goaltenders aplenty out there. You know, looks like they're going to have some pretty salty defensemen on the back end, whether it's through the expansion draft or through free agency. And, you know, I think probably, you know, you look at the center ice position, it's such an important part of the game. And, you know, I think that that's probably an area that they're really going to have to, you know, really fight for and look for and be creative. And, you know, look, Ronnie Francis is as great as a center iceman we've seen in the National Hockey League in the last, you know, 35 years, 40 years in the National Hockey League. So, you know, he can speak from experience of winning as well. So, Justin, long-winded, you know, why can't they make the playoffs? And like I said, with some blood and skin in the game, I sure hope they do. And the Olchek family will certainly be cheering on the Kraken.
So, Eddie, do you see Ron Francis exclusively building this roster completely through the draft, or do you see him trading a lot of these assets and being a major player in free agency next week?
Yeah, I think they're in it for the long haul. I think they're going to be aggressive for sure. And again, look at I think with the world we're living in and a flat cap and teams, you know, desperate to move, you know, to move some salaries and money, I think that they're, you know, they're in a pretty good spot to, you know, to play the hand and dictate the terms. And but I think there's no doubt. I think just again having played with Ronnie Francis and room with him and knowing the job that he did in Carolina, let's make this known here. I mean, the team in Carolina was built by Ronnie Francis, and I'll give a primary mm-hmm. assist to my brother there, you know, because I guess I have to, not that I want to, but you know, like they did a hell of a job there, and I think most people would look in Carolina and go, wow, I mean, they're. If you're buying or selling stock in teams, I think you're definitely buying the Carolina Hurricanes. I don't know what you guys think, but you look at what they've done here the last couple of years, the job that Rod has done behind the benches, you know, they're a team that's on the come. I mean, they're ready to go. But I mean, look at my opinion, Anthony, is you know, you have to, you know, if you're going to have long-term success, you've got to draft. You have to draft very well. And look at, I think all teams, and it's going to happen in a couple of years where you're going to have a couple of guys because of the, and I'm talking about the amateur draft now, you're going to have a couple of guys that fall through the cracks because of the lack of hockey that a lot of these young athletes have not been able to play because of the pandemic. There's going to be some players that fall through the cracks and are taken in the third or fourth or fifth round. And all of a sudden are, you know, 30 goal scorers and log in 25 minutes on the back end. And everybody's going to sit there and go, well, how did this team not take him, or how did this team bypass him? Well, I mean, this year is unique in this draft. And I think, your scouts and your scouting staff and however you evaluate, whether it's the eye test or the analytics or a combination of both. I think this is the year where you could, you know, tell your ownership group or your bosses, look, like this is the year to take some chances, to take some shots. And the one thing I will say about Seattle, and again, I mean, knowing, you know, a lot of what's gone on here the last couple of years, the ownership group allowed the hockey department to get started a year prior. So they got a book on quite a few players before the pandemic hit last year. And that was big. And you guys know this. I mean, money is tight and organizations are looking to save every dollar. And, you know, and again, nobody saw the pandemic coming, obviously, but they had lines in the water well before they probably should have. And that's a credit to Ronnie for encouraging ownership that we need to get boots on the ground and start looking at players amateur wise and at the professional level, because again, we all know what happened last March, and since then it's just been, you know, it's been a mishmash of watching players. So but I think, Anthony, I think you know, they're going to have their, you know, they're going to be really creative, and they got some things up their sleeves here, and but I think long term, there's no doubt, in my opinion, that they will be building through the draft and will continue to do that moving forward.
Conversing with the great Eddie Olczyk of the NHL on TNT here on Hockey Central, Nick Alberga, Justin Bourne, and Anthony Stewart. Are we missing something on Vladimir Tarasenko?
As far as...
Just, I don't know, it's tough to put two and two together as to what's transpiring. I understand why maybe Seattle wouldn't take him, but also just St. Louis is having trouble trading him. Like, if you're a GM in this league mm-hmm. right now, Eddie, would you be after Tarasenko is what I'm asking, I guess.
Well, I mean, I would be. I mean, depending mm-hmm. on what the team I have, I guess I'd probably say, what team am I? Am I a team that's... you know, on the verge, am I a goal scorer away? You know, how much cap space do I have? You know, are the Blues willing to eat some of the salary? You know, what do you have, a couple of years left? And, you know, I mean, are you willing to take back a bad contract, you know, for him? But look at, he's a goal scorer, but, you know, he's been banged up. You know, he's a unique type of player. And, I think you'd need a real strong, leadership group inside that locker room to, for him to fit in. But, it depends on the type of team that I have. And I think there are some teams out there that are starved, for offense and starved for goal scorers. And Justin and Anthony can tell you better than anybody, Nick. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't take the goaltending out of it, it's tough to win games 0-0. Look at Montreal, really. Early in the final, they couldn't finish. They couldn't score. And they were offensively challenged even before they got to the playoffs, and that continued at certain stretches in the playoffs. And it puts a lot of pressure on your team D. It puts a lot of pressure on your goaltender. So for Vladdy Tarasenko, I think it's got to be, I don't want to say an ideal fit, but the interesting thing will be is if indeed he doesn't want to be there, how does Craig Berube and how does Doug Armstrong handle if they can't trade him? He's got to come into camp. Does he play? How hard does he play? You worry about the injury part of it. Does he become just a practice player until you can find a fit? Do they give the agent permission to trade him? Or did you give the permission to the agent to search around and sniff around? Do they give them away? I think at this time, I think ideally they would love to move the contract out, even if they had to eat a little bit, and then they go out and sign Gabriel Landeskog or somebody like that. It's 7x7. I think that's what's probably going to take to get Landeskog if indeed he does leave Colorado, because they got their own issues there with a couple of guys coming up. So. But I think it depends on the type of team that you have and if you're looking for a specific guy. And the guy can score. When he is engaged, he can be a difference maker, and you need guys that are able to finish.